Hi, this is Chelsea Vale. You have found the Whole Heart Podcast, a podcast for conscious parents who want to do things differently. Parenting the Whole Heart Way is about love, connection, play, and raising our children naturally. It can get, at times, a little bit crunchy. Let's jump in. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for being patient with me. It's taken me a while to record this episode right here. I have been just completely swamped with life. Some of you may know from other episodes that I started a Waldorf school here in Bozeman, Montana, which is where I am right now. I'm not ignoring emails. I've been getting emails and comments and messages from some people with specific questions that they want me to address on an episode, and I'm going to try to do that in this episode. Many of them are similar in nature, and some of them have to do with the idea of incorporating Waldorf into your life, whether that's Waldorf education through homeschool, whether you just try to pick up some of the festivals and traditions, or whether you just go all in and you try to create a true family rhythm and swapping out some of your materials, books, and media that you may have in the home. Some of you may even go so far as to change some of your clothing. And so I want to talk about some of those things because I'm a member of all of these different Facebook pages, whether it's like Waldorf Teachers, Waldorf Parents, Waldorf Network, Waldorf Schooling, Waldorf Second Grade. I mean, I'm a member of a lot of them, mostly because I've started a school and it's a really great way to stay in touch with the community. But I see a lot of questions posted sometimes, like, you know, my son loves Legos. Is this Waldorf? My daughter wants her room painted pink. Is that Waldorf? Or do I need to lazier the walls instead? I think that it's really important to note that Waldorf is not necessarily like a thing or how many things that you have. It's a movement, and it was founded on anthroposophy, which is a spiritual movement and studying of what it means to be human. But Waldorf education, although it is connected to anthroposophy, is not necessarily, doesn't require you to be an anthroposophist. So there are things that you can incorporate into your life, and try not to get so stuck on whether or not they are true Waldorf or traditional Waldorf, because I think that when Rudolf Steiner founded Waldorf education and really started writing about it and researching and studying young children and actually studying all of human development and the way that we learn and the way that we grow, I think that he wanted his work to be a living, breathing thing. And his work was, you know, put into play and published, you know, back in like 1919. So we're over 100 years from now, and we have to think about how would that work and theories, how would that work have evolved over the last 100 years? And there are some things that we can put into place, but there's also a time and a place for modern influences that we can incorporate into our life without feeling like, you know, we're hypocrites or we're somehow failing our children. At the end of the day, it's not really about, am I Waldorf enough? Do I look Waldorf? Do I dress Waldorf? Do I paint my walls Waldorf? Do I have all the right Waldorf toys? It's really about understanding the why behind these things. And rather than make it just another, mom group that you desperately want to fit into, right? That's losing the focus. But instead really finding out, why do we do these things? Why do we have natural materials? One of the main reasons that we're using natural materials, the core of that is because all of the materials that come from nature have once been alive. You know, if you believe that, a tree is a living, breathing thing, and that it's, you know, been enlivened, then when you have wood in your house, the wood feels warm and natural, and you're able to connect with it because it comes from the earth. Same thing with silk and felt and wool and cotton. All of those things have once been living things, living organisms, or they came from a living organism. And so they feel good to the touch. They smell good. They're not toxic to bring into the home the same way that, some ceramics and plastics and things like that can be. They don't have the funky smell that metal sometimes has. And so that's one of the reasons that we have natural materials, is just to be connected with nature and the warming quality that's felt when a child holds a wooden or felt cotton toy in their hand. It just It just feels warm, alive, and connected. But also, you know, they're very simple. And the theory with simple toys is that they are open-ended and that the child is in control of what those toys become and how they can be used. And so that's one of the reasons for using natural materials. When it comes to rhythm, rhythm in Waldorf is not necessarily a Waldorf-specific thing. I mean, there is an extreme side of it where, you know, you're eating the same thing every day. And for some people that works and it's wonderful. And Steiner talks at length about having a regular diet, a consistent diet. It's better for your digestive system. And in our world, where we have so many different options and we're just inundated with, you know, different diet, you know, trends and fads and what you should eat and shouldn't eat, it can be kind of overwhelming, and it can be great for the family and great for the digestive system to have a little bit more of a rhythm. It also helps with picky eaters to where they're sitting down at the dinner table and they know Monday is soup night. And every Monday, maybe we have a different soup, but we have soup. And maybe Tuesday is tacos, and maybe the taco, you know, fixings change or the flavorings change, but it's taco night on Tuesdays, right? And so having a dietary rhythm can be comforting and provide some security for a child, but that's not necessarily just specific to Waldorf. When it comes to clothing, if you think about the why that we dress the way that we do, and I say we as though I'm, you know, one of the people that dresses, you know, quote unquote Waldorf all the time, which I'm really not. If you were to go to a Waldorf training center or a Waldorf school, most of the teachers wear the same color on each day of the week that coordinates with that color, according to Anthroposophy and Steiner's work. I don't really go that way. Like, I think that's kind of weird and kind of limiting. I'm kind of a fashion. Like, if you follow me on Instagram, I absolutely love pretty dresses, bright colors. I love high heels. I love makeup. I love jewelry. And I don't think that makes me any less Waldorf, because I am an anthroposophist. I love studying what it means to be human. I love the interconnectedness of the universe. And I love studying, like, who I am and why I am and why things have happened certain ways. And I love just exploring the universal connection to the human spirit. And so I don't think that I need to, you know, dress in, you know, sustainable linen overalls just to be quote unquote Waldorf. I think that's kind of a cop out. Not to say that someone that I meet who does dress like that and who does appreciate, you know, sustainable fabrics and support local businesses, maybe they're handmade items that they made themselves, maybe they, you know, card and spin their own wool for thread. That's great. I have no judgment on that person, but I don't think that that is necessarily the right fit for everybody. I feel that that can be really overwhelming and make you feel like a failure. And in today's world, there's no reason why you can't just go to like pact.com and order some organic clothing if that's what you want to do, or sew your own, or to hell with it and just order from Amazon. You know, you're not any less connected to the human spirit or to the universe if you choose to buy, you know, quote unquote mainstream clothing. However, with my kids, I definitely do not allow them to wear any TV or media items. They don't have any screen print clothing. Some of that, I think it's just distracting. If we think of our children as sense organs and everything that they're being exposed to, they are soaking up, whether that's visual that they're seeing on one another's clothing, whether it's the texture of screen print images. I don't really think that that feels good on the skin, whether it's the inside of the shirt or the outside. It just doesn't feel very good to the touch. It's plastic. In fact, on some of the warning labels, some of the new like sequin clothing, there's actually a warning label that says, caution, highly toxic, do not inhale, do not, you know, touch and then touch your face. There's actually warning labels, which I think it's just ludicrous to buy something that comes with a warning label and put it on your child. But, you know, I'm a little bit different in that way. And again, this doesn't make you any less connected to anthroposophy or the universe or nature if you do choose to buy those things for your child, right? Some of those things weren't even in existence when Steiner's work came out. So it's really just a matter of preference. I did get a message from somebody on Instagram that asked me about what TV shows I allow my children to watch and what books they get to read. And this is actually one of my favorite topics, because I'm a little bit selective, but then I'm also reminded of this one time this woman posted on Facebook and she said, "Where are the normal Waldorf parents? Where are the Waldorf parents whose kids like twerk in the kitchen and who eat off the floor?" And I started laughing and I had to comment, like, "We're a twerking family. Like, we definitely will listen to like gangster rap on a Saturday morning and like pop each other's butts while we're, making pancakes. Like, I don't think that there's anything weird about that. Part of our daily rhythm is not like lighting a candle and humming around the breakfast table together. That would be really weird and uncomfortable for my kids. Do we light a candle at dinner and put our hands together and set an intention for the week? Totally. Do we make a wish and blow the candle out and let the candle fairies take it up into the universe? Absolutely. But then right after that, I might throw them on the floor, wrestle them, and chase their crazy asses to the bathtub, So, we're as much a normal family, I think, as anybody else, if normal even is a thing. But I am particular when it comes to mainstream media, music, TV, movies, et cetera. So I'm going to talk to that, or I'm going to speak to that. I'm sorry. When it comes to books, I love anything by Paul Galdon. He does great renditions or revisions of Grimm's fairy tales. Great pictures. They're not like mind-numbing colors or anything. They're just very clear. They're living stories. Also, anything by Jan Brett is pretty good. There's a couple of modern options I'm not a huge fan of that she did, but some of the older stuff like Hedgie Surprise and Hedgie, the whole Hedgie series are really great. On Noah's Ark is good. Beautiful illustrations. So Jan Brett is phenomenal. Elsa Beskow is great. Beskow. She's probably the most popular, like, quote unquote, Waldorf author. Her books are just really, really simple. If you're bored as the adult, then your children are, it's probably perfect for your kids. Your kids are probably more engaged in the story when you're bored than you realize, because if it's too complex, they kind of lose focus and they start sort of just enjoying listening to you and looking at the pictures, but they're not really hearing and connecting to the story because it's too advanced. But Elsa Beskow does a really, really, really good job. And we have the Elsa Beskow calendar and like puzzles, and her illustrations are just beautiful. Sybil von Olfers is another one. That's Olfers. She writes really beautiful stories. She wrote the story of the Root Children, and a couple of other ones that very similar to Elsa Beskow as far as like the illustrations. They're very magical and mythical. Okay, so Elsa Beskow, Jan Brett, Paul Galdon, Sybil von Olfers. Oh, Astrid Lindgren is another one that I really, really, really love. She writes the Pippi Longstong series, The Adventures of Pippi Longstong. Longstocking, I'm sorry. And what is the other one that she does? Oh, the Tomten. We love the Tomten and the Tomten and the Fox. Those are really great stories. Also, Gerda Mueller. Gerda Mueller writes seasonal stories. And of course, we love Aesop's Fables. And we love, Rachel Isadora. She is an African illustrator and artist, and she does fairy tales with African art. So it's really nice if you have a fair-skinned family or a family that has a different skin tone. This is African art, and they're really, really amazing illustrations. And Bozeman is like white as rice, and so I've been trying to bring in a lot more culture and books with characters of different faces and ethnicities into the home. So we've been borrowing like African folk tales and Asian folk tales and Indian folk tales and all of those things, so that my kids can be exposed to some different culture other than like what's around us. As far as movies go, we like the old movies. I actually canceled my Disney's subscription a while back whenever the CEO announced that they would be offering like, male on male kisses, and that every movie was going to feature a queer character of some point. And it's not that I'm not homophobic, I'm not transphobic. I have tons of friends that are in the trans community, and I have a lot of friends that are in the gay community. I have no opinion on that for adults, but for children, it's sexuality. And I don't think that sexuality needs to be brought up at this young age. And to me, it kind of feels like a political agenda that we're pushing that. So I am like no longer a supporter of Disney. I wasn't that much to begin with, but some of the old ones I'm okay with, because the archetypes that are featured in the film, I'm sorry, the fairy tale creatures that are featured in the film represent the archetypes that dwell within each of us. And I'm usually okay with those. But I typically prefer old movies because they have muted tones. They are a little bit slower paced. Actually, I should say a lot slower paced, to where my kids are going, "Mom, this movie doesn't hurt my brain," you know, because it follows like regular slow pace of life rather than like the like Sonic the Hedgehog and Woody Woodpecker that are it's just like nobody moves like that. I don't know why movies have to move so quickly for them to think that that's how they engage a child. It should be the complete opposite. So Wizard of Oz, Swiss Family Robinson, The Princess Bride, Willow. And some people are like, "Oh my God, there's some scenes in there that scare me." My kids have never been scared. They're like, "Whoa, that monster looks real," or "That monster looks fake. Whoa, that's a fire rat. That's crazy." But they're little boys. I mean, they like some of this stuff, and it's done in a tasteful way where it's like adventure, not gore, and thrilling and suspenseful without being scary. So they do like a lot of those adventure movies. We also watched Lassie Come Home, which was like from the 30s. So some of those older movies, like, believe it or not, if you sit down with your kids and you act excited with them about some of those movies, they will get excited too. Like, my kids actually know who Clark Gable is, and they've watched The Sound of Music and Gone with the Wind. And like, we watch old movies and Little House on the Prairie and The Brady Bunch, you know. Go back to your childhood, or take it a step further and go back to your parents' childhood and see what you can find on some of those streaming channels. Like Paramount has a couple of really great options. And I think HBO Max has some older movies as well. But yeah, I'm usually particular about that. And when it comes to music, we love to listen to instrumental music. I mean, we also listen to, like, you know, Miley Cyrus and Backstreet Boys and like whatever songs from, you know, my childhood that are kind of fun. We listen to Michael Jackson, but we also listen to instrumental music. I love turning on some lyre music in the background. I love the harp. I love the flute. I love the piano. And sometimes it's nice just to have some music like that, just a simple instrumentation in the background. I just have noticed that my kids will just play a lot longer when there's a soft, simple, you know, violin playing or some piano while we're driving in the car. They just seem to be a little bit calmer and more connected. So I really encourage you to just take a look at your family life and your family rhythm and find what fits for you. If you do want to look at some resources, I have a beginner's guide on my website, wholeheartcrunchyparenting.com. But don't allow yourself to get bogged down by, you know, the dogma of Waldorf and Anthroposophy. It truly is something that it's a journey, and you're going to learn as you dive into things. And you may just Google, like, "Well, why are there silk scarves? Why is that important? And why are the walls painted, you know, that way with that fluid color? And what is the value of a chalkboard drawing for a young child? Why are there candles? Why on every website do I see candles and wood? And what is the deal with birthdays in Waldorf? And how do they do tooth fairy and stuff?" Right? Just dive down the rabbit hole. Just explore a little bit at a time, and just try to get to know the why behind everything, but don't allow it to make you feel like a failure. Just enjoy the journey, enjoy the ride, get to know what you can. If it's not Waldorf, then it's attachment parenting. And it's maybe you're interested in plant-based selves. Maybe you're interested in, how can I bring in, you know, more nature into the home? How can I get my kids more in touch with nature? Focus on that, and don't allow anyone to make you feel that you're not crunchy enough, or you're not Waldorf enough, or you're not connected enough to the spirit. I actually had a Waldorf teacher tell me that my spirituality was being judged by cats, and the fact that I hate cats was like something that I should look into. And I kind of like smiled and laughed, but then I was like, "I'm sorry, I've always hated cats. I'm terrified of cats. That has nothing to do with my spiritual journey that I don't like cats. It's probably from a past life, but I fucking hate cats, and I'm never going to change that. And I'm not going to make me feel like I'm any less spiritual just because I don't like cats." So just stay true to yourself, stay rooted, stay grounded, stay connected to your child. And more importantly, just know that you are the perfect, imperfect design for your young child. Thank you for listening. Be well. Can I just take a minute to chat about the Waldorf school that we started here in Bozeman, Montana? It is called EPOCH. It is spelled like Epoch, EPOCH, but it is EPOCH. and it is a Waldorf-inspired forest school set on 5.5 acres in Bozeman, Montana. We have a creek, a now-blooming garden. We are adding dwarf goats and chickens this year. We might be adding a donkey as well. And currently we have grades 1 through 4. We would like to add fifth grade. Hopefully by the end of the week, we have a couple of fifth graders that will be joining us. We are almost at max capacity, but we might be adding an early childhood program next year. And we are doing Waldorf festivals throughout the year, as well as field trips and cultural trips. I have heard from a lot of homeschool moms that have said we'd really like to have a little bit more support. There are a ton of resources online for Waldorf homeschool moms. However, I will also be adding what we're doing here at the school, whether it's through a newsletter for members of EPIC, which you can go to epochbzn.com. That's epicbzn.com. Click on Join Us and you can join the membership right there. And if you're not in Bozeman and you're not able to attend the festivals and events that we do throughout the year, then you can still benefit from the newsletter where we share what we're doing on campus and what we're doing in the school. And if you would like a little bit more support on your homeschooling journey, you can also go to wholeheartcrunchyparenting.com and join the membership there. And I will be uploading information, helpful tips and resources, favorite books, articles, things that I'm learning along this journey with my members there as well. So epicbzn.com, we would greatly appreciate your support. We are a nonprofit. So on our programs page, there is an opportunity to donate, but you can also check out the dream list and you can purchase an item that we have on our wish list there and send it directly to us to support the program and the Waldorf community here in Bozeman. Again, thank you for listening. Be well.